I think I'm in this session because I put the word architecture in my title. And you know, we mentioned we're going to go from the abstract to the practical. I should have highlighted notifiable condition detector, so I probably would have been in the other room right now to talk about this. Since I don't have a lot of time, I'm going to be bold. The world wants automatic reporting of public health notifiable conditions to local, state, federal agencies. We've been doing that for 10 years. I've been at Regenstrief now since 2001. I am amazed that nobody really has a lot of interest in how we're doing it. And I will make another claim philosophically. If there are lies, or excuse me, if there are truths, then there are lies. And some lies are dangerous. And what I mean by that is, I'll relate it to this. If there are good strategies, there are bad strategies. And some bad strategies are dangerous. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk to you about a real-world operational system that does identify from over 100 interfaces actual notifiable conditions and actually sends them to local and state public health authorities. I hear a lot of people wanting to reinvent the wheel. I didn't invent this stuff. I use it. I maintain it. I can tell you my troubles. I'm amazed that people don't ask Regenstrief more questions about how we do this. So I'll start there since I only have 20 minutes. And I'm deliberately being provocative because I want conversation on this. We've talked about communities of practice, and we've got folks all over the country trying to do this. We've got one group creating an open source system right now out west who doesn't talk to us about it. You know, so it's just amazing to me how we as human beings operate. And again, I don't think this is a technical challenge at all. I think this is a human challenge of coming together and wanting to share ideas. And so what I'm going to do is start about talking about the specific problem that we're trying to solve. Automated notifiable condition detection can be used for a lot to solve a lot of problems. I'm going to tell you the specific problem that we think it solves. We'll tell you what our strategy is. We'll tell you about how the system we've implemented, and we'll tell you about our results. So being one who likes deductive reasoning is something like, if all humans are mortal and Socrates is human, then Socrates is mortal, okay? I'm going to start out with some premises that, if you don't agree with these premises, then the notifiable condition detector may not be the system for you. First of all, to successfully manage public health disease burden in a community, which is what I think public health is about, managing the disease burden in a community, you have to know the disease burden in your community. Disease burden is largely determined through information generated by clinical processes, not public health processes. Clinical care processes, we know, it's well documented, under report. Physician reporting may be 40 to 50% coverage, but it's underreported. And there's a lot of reasons why, and I won't go into those in the interest of time. If you don't buy those premises, then this notifiable condition detector is probably not for you. And if you don't buy them, I'd like to have a beer later and talk to you about why you don't. We'll keep going here. So our strategy is to reuse already existing data flows that are in place for other purposes. We have an operational health information exchange that started by delivering data to the physician at the point of care so that they could take better care of patients. But oh, by the way, you can use the same data to send to public health because they need it as well. So reuse existing data flows. You need to standardize the data. And I'm not going to go into a lot of details in the interest of time, but you have to standardize that data. Standardizing data is incredibly costly, so you better find a way to sustain it. And if you want to deal with the problems that I talked about in my premises, you need to minimize the need for human intervention because human beings aren't reporting like they should. So that's our strategy. So A note on the strategy to consider: when anyone ever talks about automated notifiable condition reporting, always ask the question, who identifies whether the condition is reportable? That's the key. Most people want a physician or a laboratorian to know, the MRSA that's growing in that urine needs to be forwarded to public health. So if you dig down to it, always get to the point where, how does somebody know that this is reportable? Who identifies that? And often what you'll find out is the lab somewhere has to mark it, or a physician has to click something in their EMR to know it's reportable. We don't have the human being in the loop in our system. And if you're talking about automated reporting, ask the question, who has to identify whether something is reportable? So in our system, our health information exchange, I'm not going to go into all of the details. Hospitals essentially peel off the same data they're exchanging within their systems, registration to lab, lab to transcription, et cetera. We peel off copies of those messages, HL7 messages, receive them, put them in the information exchange. I am going to show you just a little bit, just to give you the concept of standardization, because it's crucial to this process. So this is our global registry. I'm not talking about that today. So Jane Doe at her hospital, Jane Doe at the clinic has similar tests done. At the hospital, the gonorrhea test was called GC. At the clinic, it was called GON, etc. We have 62 different ways that HIV is represented in our community. It all has to be standardized to the same code if you want consistent reporting. So we have a standardized vocabulary. We employ 5 full-time mappers who do nothing but map new codes and monitor existing streams in our information exchange. No transaction can be stored in our repository unless we recognize the local code to standardized code translation. So our mappers do both new codes, new systems coming in, and they monitor existing streams for exceptions. A lot of people say, well, 5 people, how do you sustain that? How do you manage that? Well, you find multiple use cases where multiple people can leverage the mapping. So public health, research, clinical decision support. Hospitals really want to know whether or not their patients had MRSA before they showed up at their doorstep. Because if HHS says, hospital, this person got MRSA in your hospital, the hospital wants to go in the information exchange and say, no, they didn't. Look, they had it out in the clinic. We get our money now. So there's lots of reasons why we want standardized coded data in the repository. And you've got to sell these ideas to people to sustain your mapping. So that's standardizing the clinical data. All data sources get standardized. So a quick note on sources of data for NCD, and I know that I don't know if I'll be invited back to FIN next year with this slide. There's a lot of work right now, a lot of interest in electronic medical record systems in the outpatient. If we want to cover and go back to my initial premise where we have a good idea of what's going on in the community for public health, I'm not going to start with a system that covers 4% comprehensively, maybe about 15%, but that 13% is unlikely. EMR penetration is not where it needs to be in this country. So if you want data, if you want to look through data to find the notifiable conditions, don't go to the EMRs. That's the wrong place to start. The right place to start is your large data providers. When I order a chlamydia test, when I order an HIV test, that test goes out to a lab. It doesn't stay in my system. That lab sends the data back to my EMR. That data stream can be peeled off and shared for public health reporting. It could go to be shared for clinical and administrative purposes. It can go into the EMR so that other providers who care for that patient can also have access to it. And that's what we've done with our health information exchange, is build a system where multiple people with legitimate purposes can reuse that data. I would not start with electronic medical record systems. And I'm a computer geek and I use one in my office. We don't do reporting out of my EMR because my positive results come through our information exchange, where our 5 mappers who are paid to do the mapping can maintain this. Nobody in my office, I have no mapping experts in my office who can maintain the mapping for my electronic medical record system. High-level overview, here we go. These are the details, these are the nuts and bolts. HL7 message comes in, we look in that after we've mapped it to LOINC and ask, is this LOINC code potentially reportable? And we've got a list out there. There's the FIN notifiable condition mapping table that tells us that. If it is, then we go to the next step and say, okay, let's look up in the FIN notifiable condition mapping table and say, for this LOINC code, which conditions should I be looking for? Blood culture, many conditions. MRSA PCR test is only looking at one condition. So we use those. And then we have some methods of looking for that condition. And if it's positive, we forward it to the state and local public health departments. So with that system, we can generate. So this is just a screenshot of an email that gets sent out to anybody who's interested. It's in the aggregate. And so we can monitor trends, and we can see the trends in our community. So here's the step-by-step process in gory detail. Clinical result received in HL7. The OBX3 test code is mapped from the local code system to LOINC, again, maintained by our mappers. The LOINC code is examined for potential reportability in the FIN notifiable condition mapping table. The Dwyer 1 table, some people may know it as. So blood culture, potentially reportable. A prolactin level is not, so we don't go any further with prolactin levels. If the LOINC code is potentially reportable, we look up those clinical conditions associated with it. So blood culture, we've got E. coli, syphilis, Shigella, lots of things that we have to look for. For the code for MRSA PCR, a genetic test for MRSA, we're only looking for MRSA. For those clinical conditions, we look in OBX5. We use fuzzy string matching. This is where the heavy lifting challenge of notifiable condition detection is. One is maintaining the mapping. Two is actually being able to find within this messy system. And there's a lot of work on SNOMED right now and ontologies for notifiable condition reporting. We have one system of the 34 hospitals who are signed up for a health information exchange to send SNOMED today. So if you really want to do this over the next couple of years, you'd better find real-world ways of doing that. And to do that, you've got to apply fuzzy string matching NLP methods to find the positive result. Because nobody sends SNOMED today. And that's a challenge. And I know there are send-out labs, so I can tell you that. So we have a lab system. I think there's folks from Utah in the room. ARUP sends us some labs that have SNOMED in them, but very few do. And so if you want to go back to my original premise, which is to say we want to have an accurate assessment of the community, you need to have real-world methods to identify that. And that's being able to say condition is present, and if the condition is present, is it in the negation context? Because a lot of times it'll say -4, not present. So the two things you need to do with OBX5 is say, is it present? And isn't negated. And we actually had a fellow who's come on as faculty now who's done a lot of work in this, find the concept and find out if it's negated. He's looked at thousands and thousands of results. And he's come up with an ontology of negation. He's got 19 really classes for negation. And it's been really successful. If any of you are coming to AMIA in the fall, we're going to be talking about his work there. If there's no negation, as I mentioned, you flag it as reportable. Some additional details. We do have some sources like LabCorp who only send us positive, so we can bypass our notifiable condition detector. We just forward all LabCorp results on to the state. If folks would put an abnormal flag in their results, our lives would be a lot better. We beg and plead and ask folks to put the abnormal flag in there, and that would help us identify reportables. Very few folks use abnormal flags. We do, in addition to laboratory results, we also look for ICD-9 codes, cancer registry patients, congenital defects. These are typically lab tests, but we also see hemophiliacs and sickle cell come through with ICD-9 codes, and our detector uses that. We can use keywords. If we're looking for a specific concept, we can look at that. So very quickly, I'll mention here, Mark Overidge and I looked at the first quarter of 2001 before our information exchange started sending data to public health. This is back when it went fully live to the local health department. We'd already been sending to the state. for quarter one, first 3 months, 4,785 cases in 3 months. The Health Information Exchange found 97% of those. The local health department, in their case file, had 19% of these cases. And again, this is before we started sending them the data. And the local hospitals, infection control officers' logs, had 24% of that data. And so this shouldn't be surprising to anybody, and I'm sure it's not, but obviously there's huge opportunity to leverage a combined aggregated information exchange data flow to capture more data and get a better sense of the public health disease burden in a community. So next steps, what are we doing? As a grantee in the situational awareness process with CDC, we're rewriting our notifiable condition detector. One of the things I didn't tell you was that, by the way, it's all written in VAX Basic and DEC-C right now, because back in the early 90s, that's what we were using as DEC alphas. We're actually still using a lot of DEC alphas right now, but we're transitioning over to an Intel and Java platform. So we have a prototype Java-based notifiable condition detector written. We are going to release it as one of our deliverables to the CDC as open source. We have something called a critic architecture that we're working through right now. I would love to hear from the community how about the right way to do this. But we're envisioning, and what we've started building, are what we call condition detect, condition critic. So we have a MRSA critic that for each result, if the LOINC code could possibly contain MRSA, we apply a MRSA critic to that. We're building Shigella critics. We've got we got Shigella, MRSA. We're working on syphilis to build these out in the Java-based platform. And we're introducing administrative and operational improvements that I won't go through all the details there, but just some nice features to know if you get an interface that drops out or if you have unusual counts. Take-home points. If we seek a better assessment of community health, then we need a more complete picture, then we have two choices. We can either address the reason humans don't report, which I think is going to be challenging. I don't know that we're going to get physicians to do any better job. Or we can unencumber the human and begin to automate the process. If we want to automate the process, then we need these standardized codes in the system. Without standardization of the codes, you can't build a processor and maintain that processor over time. And so, if we want to sustain the code management, as I say here, we need to find multiple use cases, multiple value propositions for why we're standardizing these codes. So this is a claim that communicable disease processing automated will not stand alone by itself. It needs to exist in the context of multiple use cases, whether those are public health or clinical, to move forward. So I'll stop there. Hope I've got you folks thinking, and I hope there's a lot of folks who want to have beer tonight.
Great, thank you. Yep. Are there questions?
In terms of the accuracy, yeah, we have, yeah. Sure, the specificity is above 99%, which is what we're primarily concerned about, and the sensitivity for the MRSA paper that we've written for AMIA was around 94%. So, yeah. And again, what Jeff Friedland is the guy who's been working on this NLP stuff. He's really done a great job of nailing. There's really, and there's probably more that we'll learn about. There's about 17 or 19 different ways, different sort of patterns of negation that we see. And he's done it across chest x-ray reports, not just laboratory reports, but across the whole spectrum. So. Right now we have the source code. And again, we're looking at delivering that as an open source deliverable to the CDC. So, good. Any other? Yeah, go ahead.
Future cases. There are also those cases, they don't go in and have that test. They don't have money.
Yeah.
Or they
Well, wouldn't public health know about them then? Or
I
guess I don't understand the scenario.
How do you find an illegal immigrant? How do you find...
If they come into the emergency department and get a lab test done, that lab test has to be delivered back to a doctor, and that flows into the system. This is independent of how the patient identifies themselves. So we would catch that. Now, whether public health could actually follow up with them is another issue, but they would know that there's a positive result. And if they lie about who they are, that's going to be a challenge. Clem McDonald's, life's work is to get Roche and other labs to start using LOINC natively. LOINC is the code system that we map to. I don't know what incentives or strategies we can implement to incentivize that. Our strategy is, and when we started the information exchange, we actually asked hospitals and the data submitters to maintain their own mapping, and about 2 days later they basically said, if you guys want an information exchange, you will do the mapping, because that's not in our business model. And so it's up to the exchange to manage the mapping and find. Yeah. So I want to make sure that we're fair on time here. So
we're okay. We probably could take, let's see, there were two questions. Why don't we get...
Just want to, Ray Allard from Los Angeles, want to make a comment about getting laboratories to use LOINC and SNOMED. There fundamentally, at the moment, is not enough of a business case for them to do it. Basically, the folks that are using LOINC and SNOMED that they're working with are the public health departments, and most, I think, public health departments are realizing, I guess New York State is an exception, but for the most part, we find we, the aggregators, have to do the coding, the conversion. Certainly, we've been trying to get laboratories to do it since LOINC was published in 95. I've been taking discs around to all of the vendors and really trying to push it for a long, long time. There's an awful lot of very high priority issues that laboratories face to survive, and LOINC and SNOMED coding ain't one of them.
Yeah.
Yep. There's some suggestion that maybe some of the HEDIS reporting will require use of LOINC and SNOMED eventually, and then maybe that will help a little bit. But
I haven't seen that, and that may be a very real finding in their community. They may have completely different processes and workflows. So that could be.